Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Such is the persistence of technology to both enlighten and ruin our lives with its spellbinding hold on our affections that we often look back on certain milestones to demonstrate progress. This last week, three of the world's biggest tech companies released new products to much fanfare, each hoping to create a new milestone of its own. We have some fanfare of our own today, actually, as it's a very special day on this, the UK Tech Weekly podcast from PC Advisor, Macworld UK, Techworld, and Computerworld UK. We have reached a milestone that I think we all agree is worth celebrating, episode number 38. We have now done the same number of episodes as David's age.
I'm not, I'm 37.
Well, we've done 37.
Okay. This is brilliant.
I have with me here, listener, two men, due to the audio nature of this podcast, who will be unable to fully appreciate, resemble the knives in our cutlery drawers. So chiselled are their features, modelled on the nation's favourite kitchen utensil and concealable weapon. So, it's our boy, Mac the Knife, Scott Carey, online editor of Techworld.
What's up?
Slightly less knifey, but no less sharp, it's Christopher Manassian, staff writer at PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
And he's one knife short of a full set, David Price, acting editor at Macworld UK.
Ronnie Hot Dog.
Strap yourself in for the skinny on Microsoft, Apple and Nintendo. Microsoft will be hoping that it's scratched more than just the surface after its Enya album of an event this week. In amongst the cheese, though, there was some rather mature tech, including a $4,000 desktop PC. So, Scott Carey, what the hell happened?
Yeah, Microsoft got back in the hardware game in a big way. They have released a PC.
Yep.
God bless them.
Yeah, I mean, they've been trying for a while. They had the Surface Pro line and the Surface as well, and then the Surface Book. So just to confuse us now, what is the new product?
It's the Surface Studio.
Ooh, snazzy.
It seems from the promotional materials and you were watching the live stream itself, that these products, and we'll get onto the Windows 10 update and the Surface Book i7 later, but they seem very, very focused on the sort of creative industries and the creative types.
Yeah.
So I think calling it a studio very much fits in with that
strategy.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, as you said, not a cheap piece of kit.
No, what are we talking about?
Haven't got UK prices yet, but it's between sort of $3,000 and $4,200.
Getting in the hardware game, we were all sort of saying, obviously comparing this week to the Apple event, are they going to compete directly? I think we all probably knew that they weren't.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see a company with such history as Microsoft getting in the hardware game, probably a bit late, and then doing it with such, as you say, a high-end focus.
Yeah. So it's firstly important to state that it's not an all-in-one.
Okay.
So like an iMac, which is an all-in-one, this actually does have a small box at the bottom, which is sneakily sort of detached from the monitor, so it is more like a traditional two-part PC, but it all looks like it joins together, so we'll let that fly. But you know, just semantics. I'm not going to get too much into the specs because that's not what I do, but
that's okay.
It's the from the start, you've got the two parts, and then they are really hot on the monitor. It's a 28-inch monitor, super high spec, and they're talking about the death of the print preview, which I think is really Microsoft way of talking about how like state of the art this is, because it will be to scale. So the monitor, you can view documents to scale and collaborate on things like that. So they've got that, and then the other big feature is the dial,
the hockey puck.
So it will. Does it detach?
Yeah, it's just like a little standalone thing that takes two AAA batteries.
Brilliant. So like a mouse, but it twists.
Yeah.
So this is useful for people who edit audio or video for a living or use Photoshop, because you could easily sort of go backwards and forwards along your audio file or your video file and start working that way. And then also you could go through your sort of swatches on Photoshop and things like that.
Yes, it's a new way to interact with it, isn't it? Because obviously the screen comes down, you can pull the whole thing down to a 20 degree angle.
Yeah.
Because it's fully touch.
Yeah.
And you can put the dial on the screen, use it as a sort of a colour palette selector and stuff they were showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yes. Yeah. It's cool to see the dial back, because I remember when Apple were selling it as a sort of an attachment to MacBooks back in 2000 and I want to say 10.
Did it a while ago, yeah. Interestingly, yeah, it says that the dial will be actually compatible with every laptop or computer that runs Windows 10. So probably to a very basic standard, you'll be able to just, like, yeah, you know, turn down the music.
Yeah. Does it just work on
the Surface, this is going to be...
Yeah, does it just work on my Wi-Fi or Bluetooth?
I'm presuming Bluetooth. That's the point. I should probably check.
Nah.
It could be Wi-Fi. What do you think about it, Christopher? You're a Windows user more than us, I think.
Yeah, well, what really surprised me actually is its user base. So as Scott mentioned, the price is really high. But inside, in terms of like specs, you had like, I think, i7 or whatever like that, which is cool. But the graphics card, and I know David will look at me going, graphics card again? Why? But why are you bringing this up again? But it's got a GTX 980M. That is last year's model of NVIDIA's graphics card.
So are we saying that's good or bad?
That's bad.
Okay.
And the reason why it's bad is because NVIDIA have released the full-blown graphics cards in laptops already.
How much do those laptops retail for?
So they retail, I don't know, top of my head. I don't know how much they retail for, but if you're looking at £4,000 or like £3,000 even, you'd expect one of these top-end graphics cards to be in there.
One
like
would assume
a GT...
that they just haven't then because of the price of the hardware already.
But it doesn't make sense because 980M is... Well, I don't know. That's another good question. In terms of mobile graphics, you've never been able to upgrade. You can upgrade, like, generally in laptops, you can upgrade some RAM. Like in the old, I think, old MacBooks, not the new ones, but and the old iMacs as well, you could open them up, change the RAM or SSD or something like that. But graphics cards were always integrated, not integrated into the chip, but like integrated into the laptop, so you couldn't just take it out. It was much harder to upgrade. See, but it just, that's what really bothers me, because you've got a high-end PC supposedly designed for guys who are going to be rendering videos using Photoshop, which are really intensive on the processor and graphics card, and you're shipping it with a 980M.
Yeah,
which is a mobile graphics card.
Yeah, we'll come to Apple in the next section, but just to reference the MacBooks, people a few years ago got a bit hacked off, like you referenced, when everything went solid state in the Airs and you couldn't upgrade anything anymore, and they put tamper-proof screws on their MacBook Pros now and charge through the roof for them. But yeah, I think we've maybe got over that, and for the target market, I mean, like you say, what people want to do with them, the specs are fine and people will upgrade every 2 years. Whereas, yeah, like you're saying, with a PC... If you're getting a £4,000 computer that, I mean, not confirmed yet, but if you can't upgrade it, because these all, well, sorry, Scott, not an all-in-one, but basically like a one-unit PC.
It does feel like something that should be user-upgradable. And I don't know, I mean, do you think people will upgrade every 2 years? I'd have thought if you buy something for that much money, you're going to want to keep it in the long term.
Oh, I was talking about MacBooks, but desktop probably not. No, you want it sitting there for ages, don't you?
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah, you want it there, but the... In all honesty, people who are going to be spending that sort of money have that disposable income. And it's a very much sweeping statement to say that. But the reason I say that is because the way that graphics cards or processors, well, not processors, but graphics cards go exponentially up in terms of their performance. If you miss that generation, like the 980M versus a GTX 1070 or GTX 1080, you're losing out of a hell of a lot of performance. So for a person buying that versus a guy who has... or a lady who has a mini ITX build. I don't want to be sexist.
Guys and ladies.
As a mini ITX build, which is literally the size of, I don't know how to explain it, but like really small, like a little mini packet you got from Amazon, which is portable in some respects.
I never get mini packets from Amazon. Oh, really? It's always giant.
Oh, you like giant packages. Is that what you're trying to say?
That was really where I was.
But yeah, no, essentially... You'd have much more power in a smaller form factor PC than you'd have on that for a cheaper price.
It'd be interesting to see when we hopefully get our hands on one, how it performs under that. I know that our sister title, Digital Arts, are keen to get their hands on it, mainly because you really can get your hands on it. You can pull the screen down. You've got the Surface Pen, which is already in existence anyway.
Yay, styluses.
Styluses. Love a good stylus. But I mean, yeah, like in the demo, there was a guy from... I've forgotten what the company's called. Sorry, guy. he was doing like showing how you can do a storyboard for a comic book. And obviously he was exaggerating slightly. He was like, I used to have to staple this together and scan it back in, which he might have done. But yeah, for creatives... It's probably going to be a big draw.
It's interesting from a sort of strategy point of view that Microsoft are moving away from sort of easily consumable hardware. So the phone division is shrunk down, and they're not sort of building. We can get onto the Surface Book i7 now, which is the second Surface Book laptop. What would you call it? Would you call it a laptop?
I think I'd probably call it a laptop.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a hybrid, yeah. So it's one of those tablet, you can detach the screen and all that business. And that's the i7. And that even retails at $2,400 to $3,300.
So they've just given up on the consumer market then?
Basically, it looks like they are just...
Based on what you were saying on the HoloLens as well.
Yeah, it looks like they are just... And yeah, the HoloLens isn't a consumer product. It's only available for developers and businesses. And that retails at $2,700.
It's so weird. So Microsoft used to be your absolute archetype. Mainstream, this is for everybody.
Yeah,
and it's like they've taken one look at, I suppose it's taken them a while to realise this, but they've recognised that they're getting pushed out of the market, and they thought, well, why don't we just consolidate on what we're best at, the enterprise?
Yes,
and it's interesting that they're going for creatives as well now.
It is interesting, but I guess from a hardware perspective, going after the sort of freelancers or the creatives or the people that need this power at home is the only way to really keep that enterprise focus. Mm. With it, because you haven't got the scale there. Like what they've been very good at in the past is getting in with big business and going for these big deployments of Office or and all of their enterprise software products. And that's still that's still their bread and butter. So it's interesting to see the direction they're going in hardware and going super super high end.
Yeah, you're right there. But let's not forget as well, the long first hour of the presentation was focused on something that first hour software, second wear hardware, tried and tested, was about the new Windows 10 update, which obviously while focused on maybe some more high-end things, it will be for every Windows 10 device. So any device that already has Windows 10, it'll be a free upgrade next spring.
Yeah,
so it's a way of getting there.
Yeah, spring 2017. Thinking. Mark your calendars. Yeah.
So yeah, they started off with the creators update. It's called with a massive focus on 3D.
Yeah, they've made Paint 3D.
Paint as an upgrade, guys.
Paint as its first major upgrade.
What about
since...
Minesweeper? Is that?
Oh god, that would actually be quite a good 3D game.
3D, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So they've. Chris, you actually wrote about this, so I won't step on your toes too much, but they've upgraded Paint so that you can now create something in Paint, and then you can 3D render it, and you can even 3D print it. So considering what I used to produce on Paint, 3D printing it probably wouldn't be...
It's a family program, so...
And, I mean, I'm hoping Clippy gets a 3D upgrade as well. You know,
yeah, Clippy is
Clippy in 3D.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of the other little updates is that you can now pin people to your taskbar. So if you're collaborating with someone, you can easily drag files over to them or keep that conversation going on the side.
Yeah, they have cool ideas, but I mean, and I really always want to be on Microsoft's side, but some of the demos they were showing, like pinning people to the taskbar and stuff, like your favorite people and that.
Yeah.
They were saying like you could get a text from someone. So it's called SMS integration, but then like she was like, you could choose to reply on Skype. Like, why would he do that?
I think the reason that you do that is because it can allow them to show off all of their products in one quick 10-minute window.
Did they also say, oh, now you could search their name on Bing?
Yeah, I mean, there must have been Cortana mentioned.
They all use Cortana all the time, obviously.
Yeah, they basically try and use Cortana as their only sort of OS a lot of the time. It's more than point and click. The other major thing that I saw from Windows 10 Creator Update is they're doing sort of some live streams with something called Beam, and which sounds like they're going after Twitch, but I think you can probably tell me more about this, Chris.
Yeah, it's just aimed for gamers, people who can directly stream their games and chat to their audiences just like you do on Twitch. But what interests me about it is that how it's integrated into Windows versus Twitch as a separate platform.
Mm.
So that's quite cool, but... To get those gamers and those people coming up to that broadcasting thing, I don't see that happening. Just because of it doesn't offer any monetary benefits to people streaming. It's cool to stream to your friends, and I know there's very few people in the world who'll actually watch me playing, especially my friends. But the reason people Twitch stream is one, because they've got that income and revenue, and secondly, it's a whole different platform that you can integrate separate programs with, and you can run competitions directly from it and giveaways and things like that. So in terms of that, it's a cool feature to have, and it's nice that they've integrated it.
It sounds like a late entry, I guess, at this point, and especially when you've got Xbox and all of the sort of streaming stuff you can do with that, or the game clips and stuff. It just sounds like maybe another nice to have, but nothing huge. So I guess with the whole update, it really is focusing on people that will be sort of trying to create in 3D or VR or mixed reality, so that a lot of the tools are now a lot more optimized for working in those mediums, especially if you are one of these fabled HoloLens developers that they are going after.
They must be up there. And I think that, I mean, it was overly aspirational, their presentation. They have been recently for Microsoft, but I mean, the way they were talking about how they wanted a generation of Minecraft users to get into 3D, I think they're trying to maybe set the bar again with their software and sort of, I know we always talk about how we're the generation who don't know how to code.
Yeah.
And like, maybe they're just trying to sort of, you know, inspire young people to get into tech in new, interesting ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't fault them for trying to make developing in virtual reality or mixed reality or 3D a little bit more accessible with a free update to Windows 10, essentially. So can't fault them for it. It's just, it'll be interesting to see if it takes off, because these aren't simple things, and I guess it's early stages at this point.
So you said it's a free update. Is that a free update from within iOS 10? Not iOS 10. Oh, Windows 10. Windows 10 to this upgraded version of Windows 10. They're not still doing the free upgrade to Windows 10 that they did for
So
they genuinely did close the door on that.
Yeah. So they are now on a what looks like will be a 6-monthly upgrade cycle on Windows 10. So the last one was the anniversary update. And then the next one will be the creator update in spring, and then you can probably expect one in sort of fall or winter after that.
So the only way to get Windows 10 now is either you buy a device with it on, or you pay like over £100 for it.
We've had this conversation on this podcast, I think. Like, paying for an OS seems bizarre.
Well, most people are upgraded, I think, and it's free. So hopefully they'll get it on some computers. We've run out of time for Microsoft, but just to go around the room and ask you the traditional question, to paraphrase the Manic Street Preachers, David, was this all surface or no feeling?
I don't was Brian Roper there?
That is an important question.
Is that the hat guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hat guy.
No,
what? He's their greatest asset.
They haven't laid off Roper, have they?
They benched him.
They have benched him.
Answer the question.
The question is, no Roper, no cry. No way.
Even better. Chris, all surface or no feeling?
No feeling.
Oh, really? And then Scott?
Yeah, no Roper with feeling.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool. Well, that's not how I planned it. Right, next section is everyone's favourite fruit. At its core, Apple tries to pip everybody to the post with its new products, and in recent years has seen the true fruits of its labour, as we are all now trees in its orchard or something. David Price, firstly, ignore the actual price of the new MacBooks, and first fawn all over them.
This is amazing.
Okay. Well, they're good. They're good. Is that fawning enough? It's all we get is, and this is the disappointing element of it.
Following the Thursday event.
Yes. Yeah. On Thursday night, we got a new MacBook Pro.
And finally.
So people have been...
a year, but whatever.
No, it's more. It's way more than that.
technically a year, isn't it?
May and March 2015 or something that they last did it. So it's like a year and a half. So people have been desperately waiting for a new MacBook Pro, and we got one. We didn't get anything else. We thought we might get a new iMac.
Yep.
We thought we might get a new Mac Pro, maybe a Mac Mini. None of that. None of that stuff.
A Mac Air would have been nice.
But anyway, it would have been nice, but we didn't get what we wanted.
No, we never did.
But let's focus on what we did get. The MacBook Pro is
what's different.
The main thing is it's got an OLED touch bar just above the keys,
so it replaces the function row
exactly. Yeah. And so this is sort of customizable, and it's dynamic based on which application you're using. So it's like having a little touchscreen right there on the keyboard. So it can display say if you're in Safari, then mm-hmm. it will display little thumbnail icons of the bookmarks, for example, and you can swipe across and
cool.
jump to those, and it shows shortcuts and stuff like that. If you go through photos, it'll show little thumbnails of those, so you swipe through your photo library and you get this sort of visual feedback.
Do you know where else you can get stuff like that? On the screen.
you can't then swipe
back
through
of the
it.
Head.
But is this like got rid of like the brightness like functionality and stuff like that?
All right, so the function keys and
that's mad.
No, basically. But it doesn't get rid of it because you can still access it. There's a function button.
By swiping through menus.
No, it's very easy. There's a function. Goodness sake.
Sorry.
Why is it always like this when there's an Apple event? It's just me.
Yeah, you're suitably pessimistic about Microsoft too. So.
I'm pessimistic about everything.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a function button. So if you press that, then it automatically maps the original function buttons cool. onto the toolbar. But also, you can customize it. Yeah, all right, I'll get to it. I'm being given thumb signals by Henry. There is a Touch ID. There's a Touch ID fingerprint scanner built into the right-hand edge of the... it's called Touch Bar, isn't it?
Yeah, Touch Bar.
It's called Touch Bar, which sounds like somewhere that Donald Trump would go on a night out.
So how deep is this Touch Bar?
Sounds like
then?
A dodgy chocolate bar.
Because on the pictures, it looked quite small. It looked quite narrow.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But it's,
yeah,
it,
well, it's only... Cause it,
what, like
it,
a key?
Yeah.
Like a normal key with
thumb width.
Slightly, slightly wider than that, I would say. But yeah, it's a narrow strip touch screen, which is very versatile, and you can customize it as well. So you're not stuck with whatever Adobe thinks should be your shortcuts in Photoshop, for example. You can map
stocks.
Stocks. Everyone needs the shortcut to stocks. The one thing, I mean, I think it'll probably work better in practice than just sort of looking at a demo of it. They did three demos of it yesterday, and one of them was like a guy doing DJ stuff, which was kind of a bit of a sort of a show-off piece, but it was pretty cool. And
they demonstrated the multi-touch.
Yeah.
You could use two thumbs on it at once.
And then, like, editing in iMovie? Was that the program?
Yes.
Maybe.
I think she was editing a photo, but then she also did a film, so it probably was iMovie.
I've completely forgotten what
I was playing Devil's Advocate, but it actually sounds like something that once you have got it set up to the way you want it, it will be something you use quite a lot.
Much like in the notification bar, actually, ironically, in Android, you can click and drag your favourite things to and from it onto the other screen, off it and everything, which is something
it looked very intuitive.
You can't do on an iPhone, but you'll be able to do on Mac.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you can drag things into the dock at the bottom of an iPhone. It's more of a dock than a control centre. That's the thing. Because the control centre on iOS, you can't customise, and that is a huge bugbear.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
I think, personally, it's a nice convenience to have. I don't think it's a standout feature that they're making out to be. As in, okay, it's something new that you'd never seen in a laptop before, don't get me wrong. But because of the size of it, and as Scott mentioned, it was like, how big is this thing? Because the bigger it is, the easier it'll be to use. It's quite small and it's quite thin. And even when the DJ was doing it, you could see his fingers were just on that screen. Yeah. And if you have quite fat fingers, then it's impossible to properly use it.
Scott just waved his thin, knifey fingers at us.
No danger here.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it might work. It could be anything. I mean, like, people used to use BlackBerries with like massive thumbs, and everyone got over that. And it's probably just another thing that
will actually be... bankers have massive thumbs.
Bankers have massive fat cat hands. No. but I think the thing we can't avoid just before we get onto that, which is the price, is this is levelled at the consumer. Obviously, people who debatably do not need the power of a MacBook Pro will still go out and buy one. Mm-hmm. But for the creatives, and we're using a MacBook Pro to record this, actually, and when I plug the two USB ports in, I was thinking, ooh,
when better do that
on the new MacBook Pro, which has
four USB-C ports.
USB-C, which they insist on calling Thunderbolt with USB-C.
Yeah, because you can plug Thunderbolt into USB-C, and it's the same thing, essentially. Yeah. And there's a bunch of other things you can plug directly into them.
And the one saving grace is there isn't just one for charging. All four can do charging, data transfer, and display.
Yeah, but it's still, I'm still saying
RIP
MagSafe.
Yeah,
because I love MagSafe, even though they keep changing it, so it's really annoying and you can't use the same MagSafe adapter. The fact that the charger on MacBooks up until this point would come out if you knocked it,
yeah,
or you tripped over it, it would come out automatically and then you wouldn't knock your MacBook on the floor. And that was a really good idea, and it was really convenient for plugging in because it sort of pulls itself into the port. And they just got rid of it, and I don't really get what anybody gains from that.
Although, if I'm not mistaken, and I know it's an additional cost, but you could get a MagSafe adapter.
I have one of them.
You have one of them?
Yeah, not made by Apple.
But you could do that.
Knock off.
But it's a good point. Like that, I remember reading an article, actually Scott shared the article earlier today, and that person who wrote an article about it said, actually, I really missed that MagSafe bit of it, because just like you said, you trip over a cable or whatever, it doesn't rip your whole laptop up. But yeah, you could get an adapter. It's an option for users if it's really a big deal, but is an additional
cost.
I think, like you're saying,
I think it's just one of those things that Apple has just gone, you know what? People will get over it.
Yeah, it's brave.
It's courageous.
At
least there's a headphone port.
There is a headphone port.
We're all desperately looking at it, thinking, "Are we even going to get rid of the headphone port?"
So this does
create the situation where if you got the iPhone 7, you cannot plug the iPhone 7 directly into the.
Oh, when the DJ was DJing, did he have headphones on?
Yes, he must have done. They were probably Bluetooth, though.
No, they were.
Were they plugged in?
I saw the wire.
Just to show. Yeah.
As David points out, USB-C means you can't plug your brand new iPhone 7, which has a USB-A cable in the box.
USB-A to Lightning.
In your laptop, so you need an adapter.
Which is madness. And so you have to buy an adapter. And they could have. They knew they were going to do this when they launched the iPhone 7, so they could have included the USB-C adapter in there. It's everything they got right. With the Lightning port farrago, where they anticipated the problems and they included a pair of Lightning headphones and they included a headphone adapter so you could use your old ones. That was perfectly handled.
Yeah,
everybody totally got over it really quickly.
We'll see.
They haven't done that. They've not included an adapter. It's going to be a real annoyance.
Touch bar and four USB-C ports, and it costs, the cheapest one is £1,449. And
yes, it is.
Maybe slightly surprising to us last night was the MacBook Air was being compared to another new product that they brought out, which is a lower end but new MacBook Pro.
Yeah, there's three MacBook Pros. Two of them are 13-inch and one of them is 15-inch. And one of the 13-inch doesn't come with the touch bar, and it doesn't come with the Touch ID. So that's the one you're talking about. That's the $1,449. If you want to get the Touch Bar, then it starts at $1,749.
My bad. Yeah, so they've
so
valued...
So eye-watering prices.
Yeah,
but
wow.
This extends across the whole range. So what really added insult to injury, for those of us who are hoping to see a new iMac, is that they've ratcheted up the price of everything across their whole Mac range last night. So the MacBook Air, which is looking horribly old...
The 11-inch Air last night.
Killed the 11-inch MacBook Air. They've kept the 13-inch MacBook Air, but shoved up the price of that by £100. So the lowest price... Apple laptop is now $949 when it used to be $749.
Yeah.
Although that was the 11-inch MacBook Air, but still, your entry point has gone up £200.
And the MacBook, the thin one, has gone up £200 as well.
Yeah, that starts at $1,249.
Have they justified the prices? Have they said why?
They haven't said anything.
Because I've seen many a rumour that it's Brexit.
It must be Brexit.
Yeah.
But they just not addressed it.
Yeah, but going back to Microsoft, they made a public statement earlier this month that all of their enterprise software from Office 365 through the stack there is they're raising the prices by sort of 14% and 22% in January, and they said it is absolutely because of the slumping pound and Brexit, and they were very upfront about it.
Brexit is stupid.
Well, it's good because we're all poorer and our products are more expensive. So, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, I suppose in a technological age where everyone's trying to one up each other and you get like something like a touch bar on a computer, you'd have to put the price up anyway. So it's just not helping, is it?
No.
They're not going to downgrade what they're doing in order to fit public perception of price, are they?
No. I was interested. We were all following this event last night, and the general feeling was that they were spending too much time talking about the touch bar, that it wasn't maybe quite as exciting as they
could justify that 300 quid, haven't
they? Well, they have. But the odd thing is it's a laptop, and when you bring out a new laptop, there's only so many exciting things you can do. They basically had this, or they could have gone with a touch screen.
Yeah.
And they went with a touch bar, which I'm not aware of any other laptops that have a touch bar.
Not to my knowledge.
Other guys. No. So this is exactly what Apple is accused of not doing. They seem to be leading the way. They seem to be innovating. I think it's pretty cool.
Is it very lightweight, etc.?
Yeah, Vega
Pro.
It's the lightest one. It's £4, I think it's a 15-inch.
For the 15-inch.
£3 for the one.
So under 2 kilos for a 15-inch laptop's pretty good.
That's pretty class.
Yeah,
and it's not got Kaby Lake. That was one thing that was up in the air.
The new Intel processor.
Yeah, that's the 7th gen. It's got the 6th gen Intel processor, which I believe is Skylake.
So both companies have gone with slightly old school processors.
I think
Kaby Lake
isn't quite ready.
I think Christopher, I think you made the point during the event last night. This is we thought that Microsoft and Apple were holding back to put these new processors in at the same time, be on the same level. But as you say, Christopher, I think this just gives them a great way to easily bump the specs in 6 months.
Yeah. I think in March 2017, you're going to see an update, even a soft update. They won't even mention, but with the new Intel processor in there. But I think there's quite a lot of hype. And I mean, one of our colleagues, Neil from Digital Arts, was like, oh, no Kaby Lake, no good. But in all honesty, processors upgrades over the years have been very, very small and incremental. And the only difference, the true difference when it comes to benchmarks, has been the iGPU, which is the inbuilt graphics card.
Yeah.
That is not a problem when it comes to a MacBook Pro. It's a problem when you talk about the equivalent of a MacBook Air, which uses Intel basic graphics card.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say over here is that you shouldn't be put off by Kaby Lake not being included versus Skylake. I still think Skylake's a fantastic processor. And I'm using a 4th generation or 3rd generation processor at home, and I have no intentions of upgrading anytime soon because the increments are so small. But yeah.
And this is still an upgrade of, is it 2 generations over the last MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
So that's quite good. As Neil observed, they were kind of behind.
Yes, absolutely.
So we are running out of time. So you've got 30 seconds to tell us about Apple TV, which was also included.
so there isn't a new Apple TV. They announced a new app. In fact, they announced 2 things at Apple TV. I'm going as quick as I can.
Yep.
There's a new app called TV, which
that's
is really
confusing.
And annoying for search engine optimization. which, as far as we can tell, really ought to be just the interface of the Apple TV, but it's not. It's a special app, but they say it's the first app you'll open when you open your Apple TV. You open the TV app
on
your Apple TV.
It's like a TV guide that puts all your apps in one place.
Exactly, and it's basically Netflix. It's Apple's version of Netflix, so it has all the recommendations. It organises TV shows and movies by genre and curated playlists.
And you can't get Netflix. Can you get Netflix on it?
Apparently not. Someone was mentioning that last time. I think it was Lewis.
On earth.
The UK is never very good with Apple TV content, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And there's also a new feature. So that's coming in December in a free update to tvOS, the app. But there's also a thing called Live Tune In, which is launching, I think, already on the Apple TV, which means that when you're watching, and this is, I think, just in the US, you're watching content, watching live sport or live news, then you'll be able to have sort of split screen related tweets and things like that coming down the side, and then you'll be able to respond to them. And it's all sort of integrated. The way that people, I think they've seen what people naturally do, which is they watch Bake Off or whatever, and then they have the a tablet open with Twitter and they're sort of following people talking about it. They've built it all in together. They've responded to that.
That could work. But yeah, as you say, it looked like something that was very US focused and probably won't be as mature for
the
UK.
Yeah, Apple TV is always better for America.
All right, well, cool. Well, just remortgage your house and you can buy a new MacBook Pro. The touch bar, non-touch bar one's available now, but I think 3 to 4 weeks shipping for the new ones. So just going to go around the room. Scott, MacBook or Crapbook?
MacBook.
Christopher?
Crapbook?
Ooh, David.
MacBook.
Hey, there we go. We'll be right back to talk about Nintendo. As Will Smith once sang, Switch. And so, Nintendo followed suit a mere 11 years later with an online trailer so revealing I'm surprised it wasn't on Pornhub. There's a true successor to the Nintendo Wii on its way, and it's quite different, isn't it, Christopher Manassians?
It is indeed. So the Nintendo Switch is quite an interesting device because, in my opinion, unlike Apple. Sorry, David. What? But they are revolutionising the way that people are gaming, at least at home.
Yeah.
So the Switch is a way of taking your console on the go with you by literally switching. But it's a, how would you say it? Like a, almost like taking out a credit card.
Yeah, it's like modular.
Modular, yeah. Exactly. That's a good word. Thanks. So it's a modular design. You've got the two joysticks and the controls on either side, and you've got a screen in the middle. Screen in the middle is reported to be 720p resolution, mm-hmm. And it's a multi-touch, just like a tablet, so you can use it on its own. But as soon as you hit the Switch inside, if that makes sense, as soon as you slot it into a TV, or you slot it in with the remotes on either side, then you can use it on the go or at home.
So in essence, are there like three ways to switch? You can either use it just as like a tablet device for gaming, mm-hmm. you can use it as a tablet with controls, and then you can dock it and use it on your telly.
Nailed it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think is, in my opinion, really revolutionising gaming, because I think Nintendo have seen a gap again, like they did with the Wii, although it's a completely different product. But they saw it in terms of like, well, people like gaming on the go on their mobile. People like gaming at home, and also people like gaming socially. Why don't we just integrate all three of them and try and create a device that really hits that market? And I think they've done it really well. The thing that worries me is that it's price. And I know we talked all about max and prices. It's rumoured to come in at a price of £400, £399 or £349. Mm. This comes from a leak that we've seen on GameStop and on, I think it was Tesco's, as our colleague Chris Martin wrote.
And considering you can get a decent, like, recent gen PlayStation or Xbox for a similar price, that's pretty competitive.
Yeah, I was actually curious to see the prices, and Xbox One S and PS4 can be gotten for about 250 to 300 quid.
Oh my god, it's cheaper.
The Xbox One S is 249.
And it's funny, because I was talking to my friend who owns a Wii, and he was one of the first who bought a Wii as well, and he loves Nintendo's platform and everything like that. But he was saying one of the reasons that a lot of people adopted a Nintendo was because it was so cheap. The Wii was so cheap.
Yeah.
But Nintendo made up the profits because of all the accessories you bought. You bought like three controllers, and you bought all of these different adapters and things that you'd use with it. This, on the other hand, comes out at a very expensive price without the adapters or extra controllers which you'd supposedly buy, which kind of limits its market, in my opinion, because as much as it's a cool product, and don't get me wrong, I'm very much excited and was hyped as a techie about it, 400 quid is a lot of money for someone to buy.
Do you know what doesn't limit its market? What? Having a new Zelda game.
That is true. Yeah. That is very, very true.
Breath of the Wind.
Breath of the Wild.
Because it's like the trailer's like lots of like deer running around. It's very natural.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to fall back in love with Zelda again.
I think that's the one. Yeah. And they're also releasing a new Mario Kart title, which is huge.
Because the cool thing you can do with the Switch is, when you were saying, Scott, when it's just the tablet on its own with the two controllers that you can have on the end to use like a massive controller, basically. They're tiny little controllers that you can just turn on their side and use as like a multiplayer thing, like Bluetooth.
Oh, that's cool.
Around them. Mm-hmm. So there's people playing Mario Kart like in a taxi.
So you sort of share a controller, is that it?
No, so there's like two little small ones that have, they both have, so like there's a joystick on the top on the left one and the bottom on the right one when you've got it. Mm. So when you take them off, they're actually the same. And then you've got like four buttons, and you can like play multiplayer games wirelessly, which is quite cool. But how would it work, do you think, with this tablet screen that has to have a lot of the internals? Will the dock boost the graphics for the console experience? I mean, how is it going to replicate what's as good on the telly on the go?
I'm glad you talk about specs there. So I was going to move on to that, just because, well, I don't know if the dock is going to change anything. In my opinion, it won't.
Probably can't.
Just because of, well, it could. It always could, but I honestly don't see it happening. But we don't know that information at the moment. What we do know is that Nvidia will be teaming up with Nintendo, which is a first, because on the Wii U, the PlayStation and the Xbox has always been AMD. So you've got a custom Nvidia Tegra GPU chip in there, which is good for mobile graphics.
Okay, right.
Will power enough for 1080p at 60 frames per second, which competes at the latest consoles. But we will see 4K streaming, but not 4K gaming, okay, if that makes sense. So yeah, you could watch 4K, let's say, for example, Netflix. I don't know if it's included
or not. It's probably going to be a way for Nintendo to muscle in on, you know, the PlayStation Live and Xbox One and what have you.
Exactly,
with apps.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's interesting, because that feels like a step change to me, that you would be able to play what is an open world Zelda game, mm-hmm. essentially, on a tablet device. Like that's pretty high spec.
Yep, absolutely. So it seems pretty good on paper, but another thing that did worry me is actually how it's going to work. So when you said about the tablet thing, the way they showed the trailer, and it is always a trailer, you have it on the tablet and you suddenly switch it, and it straight away switches into a mobile console / you put it on the TV straight away, it works seamlessly. Mm. But as we all know how tech works, even nowadays in 2016, moving on to 2017, tech never works that way, and things will crash, things will happen, and that what's worries me. So I really hope and I pray to Nintendo that it works yeah. as it's advertised.
They're generally pretty good though, Nintendo.
They're pretty good.
They tend to under-promise in terms of sort of performance and then produce something which is very robust and sort of suitable for a family. But that may not be what they're doing this time.
But you're right. But the problem over here is that you're having something completely new to the game. And like the Wii U, it was completely new to the game, but they did it really well. It still needed calibration, updates and firmwares and things like that after it came out, but it was something that could be fixed. Here, you have something that's physically being switched. Let's say that switch connection becomes loose over like a month of usage, constantly switching.
It's another thing that can go wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
It goes wrong. And then what happens?
The other thing I was thinking, looking at it, is that are they kind of muddying the waters with their own 3DS line as well? Because now they technically brought out another handheld device.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will affect them at all. But why does Nintendo, this is probably going to be after the last thing, unfortunately, but why does Nintendo now have to do this every time with its console? Because if you think about it, the N64 and the GameCube weren't that wacky. Yeah. They were just home consoles with the GameCube that didn't really work, and that's where you sort of saw Nintendo losing market share. Is this a safe bet to just like pull something out of the bag every 5 years? Or is it
luster of the dice?
Yeah, well,
the thing is, there's so many gamers, as in console gamers, who play on Xbox and PlayStation, and even those players are shifting over to PC. There's massive uptake in PC gaming. So Nintendo has to come up either something first before anyone else, just almost like Apple has the hashtag courage to do so with other products. But it's the same sort of principle here. I think Nintendo are always late to the game, and I think they acknowledge that. And instead of competing with, I would say, the big boys in console, PlayStation and Xbox, they say, let's try something new.
Yeah,
and they have to. They've been pushed to the edges, so they have to go in a slightly different direction. They have to,
I like that they do.
They have to zig where everyone else zags.
Cool, well, that's a good place to stop. Thanks, guys. Nintendo or Nintendon't, David?
Go on then, Nintendo.
Good. Scott?
Yeah, Nintendo.
And Christopher?
Yabba dabba doo.
Look at that, ending on high. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I forgot to write down the outro, so I'll keep it brief. if you like us, tweet us as normal, and just, tell everyone that this was poorly put together. thanks, guys. We've reached the end of this week's UK Tech Weekly podcast. Please tune in next week. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.